I'm Jim Fleming, and this is the podcast of one segment from To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas from PRI, Public Radio International, and Wisconsin Public Radio. Nicola Griffith wanted to fight back. A lesbian activist well-versed in the martial arts, Griffith knew she had the moves, but when her friend was attacked in a bar, she couldn't bring herself to hurt her attacker. This week's excerpt from To the Best of Our Knowledge is from a program in which the deadly, deep-minded lesbian heroine does what Nicola Griffith couldn't do that night in the bar. Fight back. Nicola Griffith is used to labels. She says people used to notice her as a dyke, then as an Englishwoman. Now, someone who walks with a cane. Another option is writer. Griffith is the author of a critically acclaimed series in the crime fiction genre featuring a tall, gorgeous lesbian named Oud. Here's Griffith with a reading. Her heroine, Oud, is in a warehouse fire, high on a platform. Her love interest is below.
From the swaying platform, the warehouse floor seemed a long way down. A tiny figure below waved. Her voice crackled in my headset. "Listen," she said. Flames chewed at the front of the platform, and white smoke began to pour upwards in earnest, like a waterfall in reverse. "Listen," she said. "When you fall from 40 feet, it's different. Your head is heavy. It will want to fall first. Keep it tucked in, and when you go through the fire, hold your breath." The smoke was charcoal now, with red flickers. "It's time to jump," she said. "And, Oud, accept the fall."
Writer Nicola Griffith, reading from her new novel, Always.
Many years ago, I moved to this country to be with my partner, Kelly. And we were living in an apartment complex called Northwoods Lake Court. And it had an artificial lake, and it was beautiful. It was on the outskirts of Atlanta. And one day, I fell asleep. And I had this dream. And you know how dreams are. Sometimes you are the person and sometimes you're watching the person. And the dream was about this woman in my apartment, except it was completely empty. She had clearly just moved in and she had fallen asleep on the carpet. And she woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning with someone holding a gun to her head, saying, "Don't move." And I woke up thinking, wow. And then I immediately fell back asleep. And in the dream, the figure just woke up herself, holding one of those big maglite flashlights, and whacked the guy with the gun over the head, broke his neck, and all in 2 seconds, with no hesitation, just whap, killed him. And I woke up thinking, what on earth could bring a person to that place where they could wake from a deep sleep and kill someone without hesitation?
So Oud kind of found you. What'd you do after that?
I put her in the back of my mind and just chewed on it because I was already working on a novel. And then one day I went to the local library. I love going to libraries and just cruising the shelves and seeing what's there. And so there I was walking up and down, and I came across this old book from the 1940s, and it was a history of Norway. I walked two more steps and there was a book called A History of Norwegian Architecture. So I took them both home and started leafing through them, and it was amazing. I came across this character in the history called Oud the Deep-Minded. And I thought, wow, what kind of person do you need to be for your name to be remembered from the 9th century as the Deep-Minded? And then I read about Norwegian architecture and how it reflects the Norwegian personality. And it all started to come together. Here's this woman in a strange country with this vast history, and she has a deep mind. But she knows how things work. She knows how to build a stave church. And so Oud gradually accreted in my mind. Then I had to figure out her history. Why is she able to kill people? And I've only just learnt that with my third book, actually. I'm beginning to find out the origins of Oud.
It's like you're writing your books in order to discover who she is and leading us along at the same time.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm having the best time.
Now, the one thing I think that everybody would agree on when they first meet Oud is that she is a very tough woman. She is also, at the beginning of your series, a very much alone woman. And one of the things, I guess, that they are all about is discovering how she can connect with other people. Is that right?
Yeah, except it's interesting. I would never think of Oud as being tough. I don't quite know how to define the word tough, but I think of Oud as being elemental. She is pure. And she's actually quite innocent in a particular way, even though she's hurt many people and killed some of them and been through a lot.
But this is the interesting thing, and I think maybe it's something that you have a lot of experience of based on what I've read about you. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. It's when people, when we see people for the first time, especially perhaps a single woman who is strong and, as you say, completely self-contained, we tend to think tough. In the same way, it happens that Oud is lesbian. Not that that is an essential element, but it is an essential element. And you look at it from the outside and your first reaction is tough. What you're doing in a way is showing who this, to me, tough lesbian woman is in reality, a more fully developed character than that.
Oud is human in of and by herself. I mean, it's not in relation to who she loves or how she interacts with the world. She is Oud. And yes, she is a dyke, but that matters to her about as much as the color of her eyes. She doesn't walk through the world, just as I don't, thinking I am a woman or I am English or in her case Norwegian or I am a lesbian. I just think I'm Nicola. Here I am. But instead of talking about that, I absolutely do not talk about that. And I create a situation where the word lesbian is never used in my novels. Oud never agonizes about being a lesbian. She just is one and expects to be treated like a full human being. And so, of course, she is. So the worlds in my novels are contemporary worlds, but they are very slightly different from this world because there is no homophobia, because Oud simply will not permit it.
How much of this comes from personal experience? I mean, you're very open about your own sexuality, and you've been very open in some of the writing that you've done about having come through some very tough times because of that, being labeled and having to live with that.
Well, it's been very interesting, actually, moving from England to this country, first of all in the South and then now here in Seattle. In England, the first thing people noticed about me was that, whoa, here's a dyke. I used to have really short shaved head, a big axe in my ear, big boots, leather jacket. You know, I looked like a big scary dyke. And yeah, I kind of enjoyed being a big scary dyke. And then I came to this country and we were living in Atlanta for about 5 years. And the first thing people noticed about me was that I was English. That's a big change. Suddenly, I'm not a big scary dyke. I'm someone who knows about perennial gardening. Of course, I'm from the inner city. I know nothing about flowers, but people would say, oh, you're English. You know, do you know the Queen and can you tell me about my roses? I'm like, well, not really. So then we moved to Seattle. And now I have MS, and now the first thing people notice is that I walk with a cane. So I've gone from the bad, scary dyke to the perennial gardener to the cripple, you know. And I'm just Nicola. And yes, I love a woman. I love Kelly. I have done for years. I always will do. But that's just who I am. And it astonishes me when people want to pin labels on me. Although they do it much less here in Seattle than anywhere else I've ever lived. We are, in fact, the boring neighbors. We live on a cul-de-sac, and we're the ones who, you know, bring a casserole round if you're unwell or drive you to your hospital appointment or we take your garbage out when you're on vacation, that kind of thing.
You still feel like the same person inside, even though your circumstances have changed and you have chosen a different life. Each time you've made choices, the world has given you a new label.
Yes, and I have accepted to some degree the labels or rejected to some degree the labels. I used to be quite angry. In fact, that's how I started writing. It came from rage. But I don't have much to be angry about now. I mean, I write, which is the thing I've wanted to do for a long time. It's going pretty well. I'm happy. I'm settled. I mean, okay, I have MS, which is pretty miserable, but that's just a thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of being a lesbian, I'm very, very comfortable. I've always actually been very, very comfortable with it, but the world wasn't comfortable. And so I had all this awful pressure all the time. I mean, in England, I lived in a northern city, and I got badly beaten one time. My window was shotgunned. Someone tried to set my house on fire. And this happened all the time. Every time I went to the grocery store, every time I stepped on stage, because I used to front a band, people would hurl insults and sometimes objects. And I got used to that.
You have been involved in the martial arts, as has Oud. Were you interested at the beginning, as so many are, in self-defense?
Actually, I was interested in the purely physical joy of it. So I started learning karate. And I was really enjoying it and doing quite well. And then one day I was unwell. It was New Year's Eve. I went out to a club with a bunch of friends. And that's where I got really badly beaten up. What happened was a friend of mine got knocked down and four guys surrounded her and started kicking her. So I did the superwoman thing and literally straddled her. I jumped over her. I stood there and sort of blocking all their blows, thinking, ooh, this is just like Bruce Lee, woohoo. Except then one of them dragged me around, hit me on the head with a bottle, and smashed my face in. I was just half unconscious, just standing there dripping blood everywhere. But the awful thing was, I had learned all this fancy stuff, and I could not bring myself to hit any of them. I could block the blows, but I couldn't hit them. The prohibition was just practically at my DNA level. I mean, I grew up a Catholic, basically don't hurt people, turn the other cheek, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't hurt these people. And I had ended up in the hospital with a cracked cheekbone, broken nose, concussion, all that stuff, blood everywhere. And all the time I was so angry. I don't think I've ever been as angry in my life. I should have been able to hit these people, and I couldn't. So that's when I started learning women's self-defense, which is all about the psychology of defending yourself. It's not just, ooh, punch a hole in this steel. It's, why are you being hassled? How do you feel about that? How can you turn that to your own advantage? It was a completely different world. That opened my eyes. But I still loved the actual fabulousness of martial arts. I went on to study Aikido and Tai Chi. I love it still. I would still do it if I could.
Lives kind of get in the way, though, don't they? I mean, you've gone through several stages in your life, but you're not living a hard scrabble life anymore. You're not, I think, likely to be in a situation in a bar where you're going to have to straddle your friend and ever face that decision again.
Right.
You're living with your partner, the novelist Kelly Eskridge. You're,
yes,
you're
right.
Making a good living, I hope, as a writer.
Yeah, not so bad.
But that's still in the back of your mind, I guess.
Actually, it worries me sometimes. Every now and again, I kind of come to myself and I think, you know, I haven't thought about X or Y or Z, as in the escape routes from the house, or how to take someone down, or where the phone is to call 911. I haven't thought about that for months because I just don't worry about it. You know, I know what I know. I am, to a large degree, physically disabled. I mean, any healthy person, even probably a six-year-old, could knock me down. And once you're down, then you have to recall a whole new set of special techniques to defend yourself. But most of self-defense is prevention. It's about making sure you turn the corner properly. You must never turn a corner tight to the wall because anyone could be lurking on the other side. Always turn a corner wide because then you can't be taken by surprise.
Nicola Griffith is an award-winning writer and the author of the crime fiction series starring her heroine, Oud. Her forthcoming novel is called Always. You've been listening to a segment from PRI's To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas. If you would like to hear the program in its entirety, visit ttbook.org or check with your local public radio station. You can also download the entire hour at audible.com/ttbook.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the completely redesigned 300 horsepower MDX. More information is available at Acura.com.